This is 88.5 FM. I'm Andy Chanley, and I'm really happy to have Steve Earle joining us here for a live session. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. I'm really good.
New album just came out on Friday called Guy. It's a tribute to the legendary Guy Clark. Man, it's hard to believe it's almost 3 years since Guy's been gone.
Yeah, it's weird. It was, he was sick a long time, and I think just because, he fought as hard as he did for as long as he did. He had lymphoma, which a lot of people, live with for quite a while. Guy didn't always do everything the doctors told him to, but he was tough, and I think because he had just been that way, that I think it was even more shocking that he seemed kind of bulletproof, and
yeah.
Then he got really frail really fast, and then he was gone, so it's been tough. This was part of my I knew I would have to do this.
Part of your grief.
I mean, I thought of it. It was in the back of my mind before he passed away, and then after he passed away, I realized I couldn't, do not want to run into him on the other side, having made the town's records and not made his. Trust me, that goes really badly for me. So I just, I had some time to think about it. We made it really fast, but a lot of thought went into it beforehand. We made it in 5 days, and we did it by rehearsing on sound checks during the Copperhead Road 30th anniversary tour. And just, I did 200 shows last year, and I did almost that many the year before because it was just, it was a money thing. And, it was the only way the record was going to get made. And I wanted a record, I wanted this record out this year because I have another record in mind for 2020 when that year rolls around. I've already started writing, so
I'm guessing it's
the Guy record out now.
We'll leave that off for a few minutes. But
yeah, we'll be back to talk about that.
Will you favor us with a song, one of Guy Clark's song of this new
sure,
album?
Sure, absolutely.
This is Steve Earle on 88.5 FM.
This opens the record because it just should. I wish I was in Austin in the chill of Parlor Bar, drinking Mad Dog margaritas and knocking where y'all. Here I am in Dublin, just rolling cigarettes, holding back and choking back the shakes with every breath. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. Ain't no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I love you from the get-go, I love you till I die. I loved you on the Spanish steps the day you said goodbye. Now I'm just a poor boy, what's my middle name? If money was a reason, then I wouldn't be the same. I'll stand up and be counted, I'll face up to the truth, I'll walk away from trouble, but I can't walk away from you. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. Ain't no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I love you from the get-go, I love you till I die. I loved you on the Spanish steps the day you said goodbye. Hey. I've been to Fort Worth, I've been to Spain, I've been too proud to come in out of the rain. I've seen the Davids, seen the Mona Lisa too. I've heard Doc Watson play Columbus Stockade Blues. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. Ain't no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I love you from the get-go, I love you till I die.
I love you on the Spanish steps. They said goodbye. I wish I was in Austin in the Chili Parlor bar, drinking my dog margaritas and not caring where you are.
So good. Dublin Blues. That's Steve Earle on 88.5 FM from his new album, Guy, a tribute to legendary Guy Clark. So good. And a second name check of Doc Watson so far.
Yeah, I know. Doc Watson, you know, comes up in my life on a fairly regular basis.
I'm curious about the people that that influence you. It brings to mind when I heard about Bob Dylan going to Winnipeg and going to the house where Neil Young grew up, to go in there and ask the people that live there now, can I go into his room and sit there and sit on his bed and look out the window?
Yeah, Bob had this thing about places. He was doing that. He was going to places that had to do with other people's lives and his lives. And he'd just pop up places, you know, here and there.
I think that's so fascinating. And you've covered the songs of people like Jay Farrar and Warren Zevon and so forth. I know, you know, Towns Van Zandt meant a lot to you. And Towns and Guy Clark, you guys did that album together, The Bluebird, back in the 90s. What is it about Guy Clark's music that speaks to you, that influences you?
Well, I think he was the greatest story songwriter that ever lived. I mean, and that's the idea of their songs, and they rhyme, but that's almost coincidental. They're really prose. They were the beginning and the middle and end, the vast majority of them. You know, I knew three Guy Clark songs before I even met him, because Jerry Jeff Walker had recorded them, and that was, you know, L.A. Freeway and Desperado's Waiting for a Train and Old Time Feeling. And there's so much detail in all those songs.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, you know, it's that thing of being able to, sort of the opposite of Raymond Carver. Raymond Carver was collapsing time. You know, Guy was, you know, everything in a Raymond Carver story might be 1 second. And the stories, you know, like, you know, 2,000, 3,000 words. The deal with Guy was, you know, there could be whole histories of families that happened in a song that was 4 minutes long. He was just he was really good at it, and I tended towards wanting to do that, so I gravitated towards him when I got to Nashville and met him. I already knew Towns, which gave me sort of an introduction to Guy, and he worked really hard and worked every day, and I think I was never disciplined about anything else but this. And, you know, these things that artists do are called disciplines for a reason, because nobody tells you when to punch your clock. And if you don't, you know, there was a point in my life, it's evolved. You know, there's a point in my life where I thought, oh, I'm a morning writer, you know, or I'm a nocturnal writer. And I'd write in the middle of the night, or I'd wake up in the morning and write, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to, I wrote in the morning at one point because it was before the phone started ringing, because I started having, you know, a life that was more complicated. Now, you know, I'm in my 60s and I've got, you know, a 9-year-old. So, you know, and I'm really busy doing about 4 or 5 different jobs. And so I write when I can write. You know, I write on planes. I write in the morning. I write at night. I write whenever I can. I write a lot on my phone. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. But the idea is, you know, they call them disciplines for a reason. And you have to develop, you know, an ability. And Guy had it in spades. He wasn't perfect. He was not an angel, but he did get up and write songs pretty much every day until he just couldn't anymore.
I've always appreciated Guy Clark's songs, but I never had one really speak to me until just recently. I was listening to your cover of The Randall Knife.
Right.
And, you know, Tools. My dad passed away 6 years ago, and his Tools are one of the things that I got. And they're an extension of the human being, you know, Tool.
Absolutely.
Like that guitar.
Absolutely.
Is an extension, yeah, of you. And the intricacy, just the tiny little details that he told about that knife.
And I almost didn't record it because it was so intensely personal. But really, the reason people respond to that song is because everybody's got a dad, whatever the relationship is. And
I had to pull over to the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah. No, relationships between fathers and sons are never... they're never perfect. It's almost impossible for that to happen, for there to be no bumps in a relationship between, you know, like two men, one of which, you know, feels responsible for the existence of the other. And it's like, it's just only, Even the best relationships I've seen between fathers and sons had their bumps and had their complications. And my dad's gone now too. And I finally decided to record it, and I'm glad I did. And I'm pretty proud of the version.
That's pretty great. It's pretty great. Will you do another song for us?
Sure. This is kind of the story thing I was talking about. And this is one of the first songs that Guy wrote after I met him that, you know, I was around and I kind of watched it take shape. And
the old gunfighter on the porch stared into the sun. Relive the days of living by the gun, when deadly games of pride were played and living was mistakes not made. And the thought of the smell of the black powder smoke and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. Oh, the smell of the black powder smoke and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. It was always keep your back to the sun. You can almost feel the weight of the gun, and it's faster than snakes or the blink of an eye. It's a time for all grown men to die. His eyes get squinting, his fingers twitching. Empties the gun at the son of a bitch, and he's hit by the smell of the black powder smoke. To stand in the street at the turn of a joke. Oh, the smell of the black powder smoke, and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. Now the burn of the bullet is only a scar. He's back in his seat in front of the bar, and the streets are empty and the blood's all dried. The dead are dust and the whiskey's inside. So buy him a drink, lend him an ear, 'cause he's nobody's fool and the only one here who remembers the smell of the black powder smoke and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. Oh, the smell of the black powder smoke and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. Said I stood in that street before it was paved. Learned shooter be shot before I could shave. I did it all for the money and fame. Noble was nothing but knowing no shame. And nothing was sacred except staying alive. And all that I learned from a Colt 45 was to curse the smell of the black powder smoke, to stand in the street at the turn of a joke. Curse the smell of the black powder smoke and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. He's just an old man now that no one believes. Says he's a gunfighter, the last of the breed. But there's ghosts in the street and they're seeking revenge. They're calling him out to the lunatic fringe. He's out in the street checking the sun. And he's killed by a car as it goes for his gun. So much for the smell of the black powder smoke, the stand in the street at the turn of a joke. So much for the smell of the black powder smoke and the stand in the street at the turn of a joke.
Steve Earle's with us at 88.5 FM for a live session. These are songs that you'll find on the album Guy, a tribute to the legendary Guy Clark, that's out now. I've always loved the song Copperhead Road because I'm from Indiana. I'm a hillbilly that just learned to talk like the guy in the 6 o'clock news. And right. My mom remembers when she was a little girl, the revenuers coming and taking a jug of new make that my dad was keeping for a friend and busting it on the front yard and taking it away. And so, that's a real life. It's not a cartoon life that I think a lot of people think of. You talk about it so convincingly in that song. Is there a real blood?
In the family.
Yeah.
My dad's from a dry county in northeast Texas. So, there's still not liquor, except in private clubs there. Right. It's kind of the buckle on the Bible belt up there, but people drink and people get alcohol. There was moonshine made around there. I heard about it all my life. It's more of a deep South culture in Northeast Texas than it is a Southwestern culture. I grew up in San Antonio because that was the first place the FAA sent my dad because he was an air traffic controller. So I grew up in San Antonio. So I grew up in a Southwestern culture, which is a little different. But people made stuff down there too. The idea came from, and there was several years before the idea and the actually writing the song. I was, before I even had a record deal, sometime in the 70s, I read a story about a woman in Elizabeth, North Carolina, that had been arrested. She was in her 70s. And she was growing pot in this holler. And they asked her, you know, how she got into that. And both of her boys, who were both in jail at the time, had come back from Vietnam with a big bag of seeds, and they'd figured out that they've been moonshiners for generations and generations, figured out there might be more money in this, and it would take people at least a while to figure out what they were doing, and they started growing marijuana up there. And, you know, I wrote the song, and I finally wrote it in 1987, you know, something like that. And it's just about that idea of, like, there are ways of life that exist in parts of the world that only change in relationship to, you know, commerce and what, you know, what there is available for people to do to make a living. And, you know, that part of the, what's the line in Coal Miner's Daughter? You know, it's like, it's coal mine, moonshine, or move it on down the line. That was the deal, you know, in Harlan County. So, you know, it's still, you know, there's parts of the world out there where you'll hear that, you know, you'll think, there's a lot, well, a lot of what my next record is going to be about is there's folks and, you know, people that never been to West Virginia will say, well, that's Trump country because everybody works in coal. And the truth is, 1 in 1,000 people have a job in coal, even in the coal mining areas, because it just doesn't take that many men to take coal out of a mine anymore. Right. Where the jobs went, you know, what happened to working people in this country, it's really simple. It's machines. The jobs went to machines a long time ago. And other countries, one of the things unions did was help, you know, get with governments and sort of insist, what do we do? How do we find work for these people that don't have these jobs anymore? Or how do we take care of them if we don't? And you can call that a welfare state. You can call it whatever you want to. But, you know, those people, when you have people that did something for a living and the jobs go away, like they used to take 250 people to take a certain amount of coal that was viable and profitable out of a mine, an anthracite mine, a high quality, you know, right, steel making coal mine. Now it takes 25. I'm writing this piece, songs for a theater piece, that's about that explosion that happened at Upper Big Branch,
right,
which was that guy, Don Blankenship, owned it, that you saw running for the Senate, you know, that couldn't put a sentence together. He ran it outlaw every single day that he had it, yeah, ran it about nothing but money, and he killed all 25 of those guys. But 25 guys were taking as much coal out of the ground as 200 guys did a generation ago. And it's just because of the machines. But he ran it even faster than he had to. And keep in mind, this is anthracite coal. This is steel-making coal. So where is it going? We do not make steel in the United States of America. Every bit of it goes to China. So we create a lot of these things that we complain about ourselves.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's already a lot of fire behind this next album that's coming out next
year. I'm working on it. And there's a theater piece going up at the Public Theater, too, called Coal Country in February of 2020. I'm going to be in it, you know, just kind of the troubadour that sort of powers the piece. On Jessica Blank and Eric Jensen, who wrote a thing called The Exonerated, which was about death row exonerees, you know, like 15 years ago that I was involved in. They wrote the book. I'm writing the songs. And the next record, the core of the songs from this show will be the core of the next record.
Nice. Awesome. Before we hear one more song from you, one more thought about Copperhead Road. Camp Copperhead Road. Tell me about that. It kind of surprises me in that I always thought that you were like me in the sense that you really didn't care for people.
No, you'd be wrong about that.
You seem like someone who would be very guarded about their craft, but you have this camp where you invite people in to get total access to you, to ask about songwriting.
There's no way I would be able to do what I do if it wasn't for Guy Clark being willing to open himself up and tell me how he wrote songs. He recognized that I had talent. A camp is what it says it is. It's part fantasy camp in that there's people that come, or we wouldn't be able to afford to do it, that'll never be songwriters. There are not that many people that are born to be songwriters on the planet. I got news for a lot of kids and bands out there, you know. It's one of those things. It's just not everybody can do it. And I can't make anybody a songwriter that wasn't one before they get there. But I can, if you're a songwriter before you get there, I think you'll be a better songwriter before you leave. And I think if you're not, then you'll know more about how it's done and have a greater appreciation of it. It's a big indie in New York. It's a Labor Day weekend, basically. This year we moved it from June. It's going to be,
do you have a website?
It's what?
Do you have the website?
Yeah, it's a website. It's Camp. It's you know, just Google Camp Copperhead. It'll come up. Right. And it's like we've got, you know, Anders Osborne's coming this year. You know, as just like last year that we got that locked in. There'll be one other teacher besides me and Anders, and it's a cool thing.
Nice.
Pack up all your dishes, make a note of all good wishes, say goodbye to the landlord farmer. Some bitches always bored me, throw out them old L.A. papers, a molded box of vanilla wafers, adios to all this concrete. Gonna give me some dirt road back street. If I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed or caught, I'll be down the road in a cloud of smoke to some land. I ain't Bob Barton, this here's to you, old skinny Dennis. Only one I think I will miss, I can hear your basement singing, sweet and low like a gift you're bringing. Play it for me one more time now. Gotta give it all we can now. I believe every word you're saying, and just you keep on playing. If I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed or caught, I'll be down the road in a cloud of smoke to some land. I ain't bothering you, put the pink card in the mailbox, leave the key in the old front door lock. They will find it likely as not. Show to something we have forgot. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry, babe. Love's a gift that's truly handmade. We got something to believe in. And don't you think it's time we're leaving? If I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed or caught, I'll be down the road in a cloud of smoke to some land. I ain't bothered if I just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed or caught. Pack up all your dishes, made a note of all good wishes, say goodbye to the landlord farm man. Some bitches always bored me.
That's Guy Clark's L.A. Freeway on 88.5 FM. Steve Earle here, playing us a few songs off Guy, a tribute to the legendary Guy Clark. What do you like doing when you're not making music?
The only thing that I do besides, you know, I go see baseball and theater because I live in New York, so those things are both important to me. And I fish with a fly rod when I'm in the parts of the country where I can, and I get to go to all those places. I'm lucky. So my favorite place in North America at the moment is to fish is Idaho. But I get to fish New Zealand and some other places that are pretty off the hook, you know.
It's been a pleasure to get to know you a little bit. Steve Earle, the new album, Guy, a tribute to the legendary Guy Clark. It's in stores now, or you can stream it now. Go do that. Come back and see us sometime soon here at 88.5.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve.